also forgot to mention to you that Kaylin Rains is in the hospital. And I sent out a prayer request last night, but she's in there with pneumonia. And any updates?
That's what she had a bad night last night, but she's sleeping now.
She is sleeping now? Yeah. Okay. Well, I continue to pray for Kaylin and just for God's healing and for the family as they minister to her and care for her. So please remember them. Well, let me invite you now to open your Bibles with me to John chapter 15. And we're going to be taking our last look really at verses 1 through 6 and primarily look at verses 1 and 2. So I've kind of jumped all around this passage, but there's so many great topics and important truths in here. I've kind of dragged it out over several weeks, but we've looked at Jesus' vine analogy in verse 1 and saw how it came from the Old Testament as a picture of Israel who was always failing to bear fruit for God. And so now Christ is the new covenant vine and he will bear fruit for God's glory. We've seen that. We've also seen how important it is in this context of bearing fruit. And what happens to those branches which do not bear fruit, which we dealt with last week. And then this week we'll deal with what happens to those branches that do bear fruit. And that'll be our topic of study this morning. And the short answer is the branches that bear fruit, well, they get pruned. And they get pruned so they can bear even more fruit. So that's what we'll look at this morning. Let me read this passage for you, written by the Apostle John under the inspiring, guiding hand of the Spirit of God. Please carefully hear God's word. Jesus says in John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Well, let me give you a word about the background again. Jesus grew up in Nazareth of Galilee. And you remember visually in the map of Palestine, you have the Sea of Galilee here, the Dead Sea down here. And this whole region to the west of the Sea of Galilee is Galilee. Nazareth is in that area. That's where our Lord grew up. Galilee is well known for its agriculture. And even though Jesus was raised as a carpenter, he would have certainly had much knowledge of the other trades and crafts that operated within Galilee. We usually think of a carpenter as someone who builds furniture, but carpenters also build the wooden parts of tools that were used in agriculture, plows and hoes, and Jesus may very well have made a good number of those as he provided services as he was growing up under the tutelage of his father Joseph, his adopted father Joseph. We also know that Galilee, because it was so rich in produce, had an abundance of crops. Galilee was one of the best wheat crop areas in the whole region. It was well known for its fruits, such as date palms and figs and walnuts. And Galilee was also Palestine's best and most and largest producer of wine because of their incredible vineyards, which is the very thing our Lord is referring to in this passage. Galilee was also renowned for the abundance and quality of its olive oil. So in many ways, it was known as a land of flowing with milk and honey that we read about in the Old Testament. And due to the richness of the land and the produce and the agriculture there, everyone, certainly including our Lord, would have had a very hands-on knowledge of the vineyards and the process of what's going on and raising good grapes to produce raisins and wine and all that comes from grapes. And certainly our Lord had an extensive knowledge based on his parables of using seeds and planting and sowers and harvest. He knew about this area. He grew up in the middle of it, so he's very well versed. And we're not surprised that he uses this analogy of the vine as a critical illustration of our relationship with Jesus Christ as the branches and the importance of our abiding in him. But what I want to focus on this morning primarily is verse 1 and 2. Notice again, Jesus says, I am the true vine, in contrast with Israel, a false vine. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Now, the vine dresser means that the Father is the master gardener. The Father has oversight of the vineyard. The Father takes care of the plants. And so in verse 2, we read, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. The master gardener, the vine dresser, would come and he would cut away and take off all the dead branches. And he would take them away in verse 6, and they would be burned. They would be destroyed. But notice what he says in verse 2 also, that every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So let's look at the physical pruning that would occur within a vineyard in the first century, and then we'll look at the spiritual pruning that our Father does in our life. Several things I want to point out about the vineyard and the pruning. The branches were pruned at least twice a year in a vineyard by the vine dresser, by the gardener, the one that has oversight over the vineyard. And normally they would be pruned in the fall right after the grape harvest. And the vine dresser would come and he would cut away almost everything from the vineyard. And that was designed to induce the vine to go into dormancy so it can preserve the nutrients of the ground and not continue to grow and use them up. So in the fall, the vineyard, the vine, would receive its first pruning of the year. We've uncovered, archaeologists have uncovered, a papyri dated around 280 AD that described how the vine dresser would come again in the springtime, and he would begin to evaluate the growth of the vine and again trim away all unnecessary branches. The goal is to allow that vine to concentrate all of its energy and all the nutrients that it's drawing from the soil into a select number of grape clusters. That would give you the largest, the plumpest grapes, the sweetest grapes that would make the best wine and the best raisins. So in the springtime would be the second major pruning that would occur. Now, how extensive is the pruning? Well, as I just indicated, it would be designed to eliminate all unnecessary and excess growth. They would cut back each of the branch where there was only maybe four or five buds on the stems that they wanted to keep. If there were too few buds, it would decrease the yield. If there were too many buds, it would also affect the quality of the yield. So they would look at having maybe four or five buds per branch. This was designed to produce absolutely the best crop possible. and not overuse the nutrients found within the soil. About a month ago, we were up in Canada at a fire conference, and on our way back, we drove by some vineyards, and I was very interested to see what they look like. It was right before the growing season actually started up there, and we drove by vineyard after vineyard, perfectly ordered rows of grapevines. And the pruning was incredibly extensive and drastic. In fact, there was a whole row of vines, and all you had was one single vine growing up out of the ground with two lateral vines growing out, one on each side, that were supported by a trellis and poles and a wire. So in many ways, it kind of looks like the cross behind me, only much skinnier and without the top part. One major vine growing up out of the ground with two lateral branches about relatively the length as you would see on this cross behind me. Everything else was pruned away. There are no other branches, there's no other leaves, there was nothing. And this was at the very beginning of the growing season. In other words, sometimes the pruning can be quite drastic. Those vines look absolutely bare and naked, almost like a skeleton. But as they would start to grow and begin to put out other little branches, then they would come back and they would prune out the ones that the vine dresser thought would be unnecessary so he could funnel all the energy into producing the best crop available on that particular vine. Very extensive pruning. Why was the pruning necessary? As our Lord has told us in verse 2, it's so that we can bear more fruit. The purpose of pruning is to produce the biggest and sweetest grapes. If you do not prune, there will be enough unnecessary excessive growth that it will diminish the quality of the grape production when harvest time comes. For maximum fruitfulness, there must be extensive pruning. So all that unnecessary growth does not drain away and siphon off what those buds need to produce the best grapes, the best wine, the sweetest raisins. It's absolutely necessary. Well, now let's begin to look at how this takes place on a spiritual dimension, which is what our Lord is primarily after here in John chapter 15. The vine dresser, that would be the Father, prunes every branch that bears fruit. Now, the branch that bears fruit, I think, is a picture of a believer. Those that do not bear fruit, that would be the apostate false believer, remember, like Judas. But the branches that bear fruit are the ones that are going to get pruned. They don't get totally cut off and burned, but they do get pruned. And so he's talking about what the Father, our Father in heaven, does to us as believers in Jesus Christ. He prunes us. And spiritual pruning itself is probably much in line with physical pruning. It means cutting off and removing things that the Father believes are unnecessary and unprofitable in our life. And it's up to his discretion. Pruning is not fun. Pruning can be painful. But this branch that is bearing fruit, the Father, the vine dresser, wants it to bear more fruit. You may be bearing fruit now for Christ. The Father wants your life to bear more fruit. And the way he'll enable you to bear more fruit is he will prune your life. And that way, more of the spiritual energy can flow into producing fruit that gives glory and honor to God. Pruning can certainly deal with diseased branches, small branches, any kind of branches that the Father thinks are not important in our life. They can prune branches that we seem, in our perspective, to be very desirable. Things that we may view to be blessings that would be very useful and needful and have good promise of producing grapes in our life. Those may be the branches the Father prunes. But in God's wisdom, they are a detriment to our spiritual growth. He views them as unnecessary, harmful, damaging, and he will remove them. We don't want to lose those branches. Just looking at it from a branch's perspective, we may not understand why he's cutting off those twigs and those leaves and those other smaller branches. We get attached to them. We are attached to them. We don't like when the Father comes and begins to prune those things out of our life. And sometimes we see new little tendrils, new little areas of interest, new hobbies, new areas, whatever it might be. And the Father knows that's not going to maximize our fruitfulness, and he may cut those away. And we may say, but vine dresser, Father, I like that little branch. Those leaves, I thought they were so pretty and green. And Alice, why are you taking that one from me? And why don't you leave a few more on there? It makes me look bigger and fuller or whatever. But the vine dresser is infinitely wise, though we don't always understand or always appreciate the pruning that goes on in our life. Well, let's look at the method of pruning. When does our vine dresser, God the Father, prune us? Well, it's not just twice a year, as in the physical realm of the vineyard for Israel. He can prune us all year round. Isn't that encouraging? It can be a 24/7 pruning job. Whenever the Father thinks that it's for your benefit to prune you, he will prune you. How extensive is that pruning? Well, again, it's based on the wisdom of the vine dresser. He may leave things in our life that may not be good for us, but in his wisdom, he prunes out, and by pruning away, he cuts it and removes it out of our life. Sometimes it may be very light. It's kind of like going to the barber. Sometimes you go to get a haircut, and you just get a little trim around the side. Sometimes you get a burr. And sometimes the Father may give us a little trim when he prunes, or sometimes he may take out the lawnmower. Nobody's exempt, though. You're not exempt. I'm not exempt. All of God's children will be pruned. Abraham was pruned. Job, Noah, David, Joseph, Paul, Peter. All the saints must be pruned. All the branches must be pruned. If you bear any fruit, you will be pruned because God wants more fruit. So every believer bears a certain measure of fruit, but the Father wants more fruit, so he'll prune us. So that in that process, we enter into union with Christ as a man of sorrows and understand some of that perspective. Again, why does he prune us? Well, the same way the earthly vine dresser prunes his vineyard to increase our fruit. You have to understand that God is not interested in just outward green leaves in our lives. He's not interested in just outward religion in our lives. He's interested in godly fruit. If you look down at verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The Father is not interested in our green leaves. He's interested in our fruit, because it's through our fruit that we glorify him. That's why he wants more fruit, so that his name and his grace and his character might be glorified. Well, what is some of that fruit that the Father is pruning us to develop more of? Well, golly, there could be a long list. It could certainly include obedience. He may prune and humble us to teach us to be obedient in an area of our life where we may be disobedient. He may prune us that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of God by driving us back to him, because the pruning hurts. The pruning brings about a loss, and we cry out to God and draw near to him and find mercy to help in time of need. He may prune us just to increase the fruit of our love for God and our love for others, which sometimes may be dwindling and shriveling up on the vine. pruning can help us develop more compassion for other people, because when I'm hurt and yet I receive comfort from God, now I can show compassion and comfort others that get hurt and pruned. Paul talked about how God comforted them in their affliction so they could comfort others. And sometimes God may prune us to bring an element of hardship or difficulty so that we receive comfort from God so we can share God's comfort with others. He may prune us sometimes to be a more effective witness. It may be pruning in areas where our heart needs to be stimulated to have more of a concern for lost around us. He may prune us so that we are more committed to service within His kingdom. He may prune us to help develop more of an eternal perspective, because pruning inevitably oftentimes will take away things that are temporal in our life. And by pruning, the Lord reminds us that life is brief and heaven is forever. And pruning reminds us that God is interested in the spiritual more than the physical, and the eternal more than the temporal, and the health of the inner man more than the health of the outer man. Not that He's not concerned with those temporal, physical things, but He's more concerned with the inner man. He may prune us just to teach us more dependence upon God, as Paul learned when the Lord told him that My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is perfected in weakness. He may prune us just to make us more like Christ. So as He prunes away all these things from my life begins to look like the cross, the vine, the two branches, and nothing else. And sometimes God prunes us down so that we learn what it's like to bear the cross and be like Christ. Our Father has many reasons and many methods and many ways of pruning us, but it's always for the same purpose. It's that we might bear more fruit, that we might be more like Christ, that we might be pursuing the eternal things of God and not be so consumed by the here and the now. Our Father will prune things out of our life that He deems to interfere with bearing a good crop of fruit, because pruning will prevent our natural inclinations and our natural desires from running riot and growing wild, which they would if our Father did not prune them back and check them at times. We become quite attached to those branches, but our vine dresser knows that if he leaves them on our life, they will use up vital resources and siphon off spiritual energy, so he may choose very well to prune it from us. Well, that's the method of pruning. How about the means of pruning? Well, again, the Father will take out his pruners, his scissors, his hedge trimmers, his chainsaw, whatever is necessary for the task, and he'll begin to snip off those green branches. Again, those things could symbolize blessings in our life that are unnecessary, things we are fond of, things we enjoy too much, things we have too much pleasure in, more so than our pleasure in Christ, which our Father deems to be a deterrent to fruitfulness. He can also prune by adding things, with the end result of pruning out sin. He can add things to our life. He can add trials and tribulations to help prune away my selfishness, my self-centeredness. He can add struggles and difficulties to make me aware of just how much I am in the flesh and how easy it is for me to get angry, and how often I can be impatient, and how often I can say things to my wife and my kids and my family or my husband that are not honoring to the Lord. And he by adding that, he reveals what needs to be pruned out of my life, my own sin, my own idols, my own want to do it my way and not Christ's way. And so these added trials are designed to prune away sin within our life. Remember, God pruned Paul from his sin of arrogance by adding to him a thorn in his side, from which Paul prayed three times that God would remove the thorn, and each time God said no. And then finally he realized that God was not going to take away that thorn that he added in order that God might prune him from his pride. And so Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. So God may very well add to us a trial, a difficulty that has the result of pruning pride or sin or selfishness out of our life. Sometimes God may stop the flow of his blessings, which can create discouragement and disappointment and loss and uncertainty. The river of his blessing may be diverted or it may be dammed up so that suddenly we experience a measure of spiritual dryness as God is stopping up and pruning away and diverting these blessings from our life. When Israel left Egypt and was out in the wilderness during those 40 years, they quickly experienced the dryness of the desert. And they had to cry out to God to provide the supply of water from the rock. But sometimes God stops up the flow of his blessings in our life. He may send and allow sickness or illness or financial loss or a job loss or loss of friends that may be a hindrance to us spiritually, who may be tempting us and dragging us into things which are not profitable spiritually. He may cause a loss of our comforts to help us refocus our eyes on eternal things rather than the passing pleasures of this life. Sometimes blessings are blessings. Temporal blessings are a blessing. I love all my comforts that God has given me. I don't want to lose any of them. But if my father believes that it may be detrimental and he takes one from me, it's because he deems that it is wise and best. He knows which blessings need to be pruned. He knows where to stop up those good things that we view as good things, which are really not good things, they're poisonous. He knows when to stop them up so he can deal with issues underneath. Our Father is wise, and he prunes. What's his motivation for pruning us? Well, this is encouraging. It's always because he loves us. It may not feel like it. We may not think it looks that way when he's pruning things out of our life. But our Father always prunes us because he loves us. And in fact, hold your place in John 15 and let's turn to that familiar passage in Hebrews chapter 12 just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12. This passage that deals with God's discipline of his children whom he loves, which is very much connected to God's pruning ministry. His discipline and his pruning oftentimes overlaps. But in Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 5, and beginning with that Old Testament quotation that comes out of the book of Proverbs. He writes, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they," that is the earthly fathers, "disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he," our heavenly Father, "disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Notice the motivation for the discipline. We see it very clearly in verse 6, for those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And that's the same idea in John 15. Those whom our Father, who is the vine dresser, loves, He prunes. So that if God is cutting things out of your life, if He is pruning you, if He is taking things away from you, He is pruning you because He loves you. It's always in His love. There is no other way to evaluate the pruning that this comes from the loving heart of my Heavenly Father. He is taking this out of my life. I may not understand it. I may not want it. It may hurt. It may be difficult. I may be suffering from it. But He's doing it out of His wisdom because He loves me. And you have to believe that by faith. Everything He does, though it may be painful. In Hebrews 12, He says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. Amen. When we are disciplined from the Lord, it is not fun, but sorrowful. It is difficult. It brings grief into our life. And yet, it's to train us so that afterwards we can yield that peaceful fruit of righteousness. He disciplines for us for our good so that we can share His holiness. That's the motivation of our Heavenly Father. He does it because He loves you. And you may be being pruned right now. I don't know how God is dealing with your life today. But you may be having the Lord remove things out of your life. Things that you love. Things that you cherish. Things that you really want and have benefited from. And God the Father may deem it wise to take that from you. You must know and believe that if He chooses to do that, it's because of His love. And God's ways are infinitely higher than our ways. How can we understand the ways of providence? How can we understand? We just have to trust and know that the Word of God tells us it's because He loves us. So we've seen the method of pruning, the means of pruning, the motivation of pruning, finally the morality of pruning. It's all for God's glory and it's all for our good and our fruitfulness. God is glorified by our bearing much fruit, John 15:8. The morality of the pruning is because it's to reflect on God's glory. As we produce more fruit, which is good for us, it bears more glory for our Father in heaven. God is glorified by our fruit. The pruning will produce more fruit. So the pruning is a necessary part of our life, bringing more glory to God. It's for our good. Psalm 119, verse 71, David said, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God's afflictions are always for your good. Remember again in Hebrews 12:10, He disciplines us for our good. God always has a reason for everything He takes out of your life, for everything He trims and cuts and prunes and removes. He always has a purpose that is good for you in the end. We may not see that, but we trust Him because that's what He's told us. And though the flow of God's goodness may seem to be pruned or cut off or blocked up, He always has a good reason because He loves us and He wants us to bear more fruit for His honor and for His glory. So therefore, how do we respond when we're being pruned? Let us learn, therefore, not to murmur, not to complain in our trials, but to trust God in His love and to trust Him in His wisdom. Trust Him that He has a purpose, that He has a plan. Trust Him even though when you don't understand. Trust Him that He does not mean you harm. He's just pruning you that you might bear more fruit He always has our good in mind, just as the vine dresser that wants the best crop of fruit from that vine requires him to trim it and to prune it accordingly. And when God prunes us, and when God stops up the flow of our blessings, and when God takes things away from our life, and the river runs dry, it is always for our good and for His glory. On our way back from the fire conference, we had the incredible privilege of stopping by Niagara Falls. And it's an interesting thing that happened in 1969. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers decided to stop the flow of the water over the American Falls. If you know the Niagara Falls, it's made up of two separate falls. There's the American Falls, and then Goat Island, and then the Canadian Falls. And they decided to stop all the flow of the water over the American Falls, and they dammed it up using 28,000 or whatever tons of rock. They dammed it up and they stopped that flow of water over the American Falls, that flow which is about 6 million cubic feet of water every minute. They stopped it. And if you were a visitor there in 1969 when they did that, you might have wondered, what in the world are they doing? They have destroyed this American landmark of Niagara Falls on the American side. What crazy nut is drying it up? Here, I'm here to enjoy it, and I can't enjoy it because there's no water flowing down anymore. What are they doing? Well, they knew what they were doing. And the reason was, at the end of that, the American Falls, the erosion was beginning to take place so fast. The erosion was knocking off the end pieces and clogging up things so much that it threatened the beauty and just the whole vision of that particular falls. And so the Army Corps of Engineers, they dammed up that the river that flowed over the American Falls. And when the water stopped running and the bedrock was exposed and it was dry, they went in there and mechanically began to bolt and strengthen a number of the cracks and the faults that were causing the erosion and the breaking off. And they sealed it together and they drilled and they bolted those faults together to prevent the speed of the erosion from taking place. So 6 months later, they exploded the dam. And that 6 million cubic feet of water every minute started to flow again, and it will continue to flow for many, many decades to come, because when they stopped the flow, they did the repairs. And the repairs were necessary to keep the flow. And that's what God oftentimes will do in our life when He prunes us. He may stop the flow of God's blessings, and we may wonder why. And we may not understand, Lord, why are you doing this in my life? But He always has a purpose, and He's always doing it for our good. He's always going in and bolting down the cracks. He's doing the repairs. He's pruning out what needs to be taken out so that He can eventually produce more and better fruit within our life. So how do we respond again when God is pruning? Because the vine dresser is coming to a place near to us. And He will eventually come our way. And He will put His eye upon our vine. And He will begin to single out things for pruning. How should we respond at that time? If we get upset and angry with God, then we're probably going to lose the opportunity of bearing fruit, of bearing more fruit. Rather, the way we should respond is to submit ourselves to the pruning ministry of the hand of our vine dresser. It's not joyful, it is sorrowful when we are pruned. But if we are trained by it, we will yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. We will bear more fruit for the glory of God if we humble ourselves under the pruning hand of our God. If we repent of any known sin that is revealing. If we redirect the focus of our life more towards Christ. If we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and be mindful more of our relationship with Christ, then we will profit. Then we will bear more fruit. And then God will be more glorified by our fruitfulness. The wise of heart will bow before the master gardener when the pruners are in his hands, trusting in his wisdom, trusting in his skill, trusting in his love. The Father will not remove a twig more or a twig less than is necessary to give us the opportunity to bear more fruit for his honor and his glory. Humbly submit. Yield yourself to the pruning of the Father. Understand and appreciate and acknowledge his wisdom and his love and his care. Trust that he is right. Trust that he is good. Trust that it is an opportunity for me to respond in faith and obedience and love and bear more fruit for his glory and for his honor. And if I submit and if I trust in his hand, if I draw closer to him, that's exactly what the vine will do. He will energize his grace in our life and it will produce a more abundant crop and fruit for God's glory. Let this be our response. When the Father prunes us, it may appear to be a loss at the present, but in reality, that pruning will be a means of great gain if we respond in humility, repentance, faith, and trust in His wise and loving hand. So may God help us all as we profit from the pruning of our Father. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we all acknowledge at times that we have felt the sting and the slice and the cutting of your pruners in our life. And Lord, if the truth is known, there's probably more that can be pruned, but in your mercy and your grace, you prune out what you deem necessary. And Father, we just pray that at this time when we are experiencing that pruning of our Father, that, Lord, we would understand that it comes from your loving heart. You don't mean us harm. You mean good. Just as you did in the life of Joseph, as you did in the life of Paul, there is sin, there are blessings to be brought, sin to be removed. Lord, you have many reasons for why you prune us. But Lord, it's never fun when we experience it. But by faith, we pray that when your pruners touch our lives and some of those blessings seemingly are eroding away from our life and the flow of those blessings seem to be dammed up, Lord, may we pause, may we stop, may we reflect. May we look at ourselves and ponder what you are doing. Where are the areas of our life that you want to bear more fruit for your glory? What are the sins that we need to deal with? Where do I need to draw closer to you? And then, Father, help us to do that. Help us to abide in the vine in the times of pruning. Help us to cling to Christ, that his grace and his life and his love might flow through us to bear a bigger, a sweeter crop of grapes for the glory of our great heavenly vine dresser. So, Father, help us in this way that we might bring more glory and honor to you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.